Welcome to Manawaker Studios Flash Fiction Podcast. I'm CB Darogi. This week, Intersecting Data Fields by Mina Chang. The first time I saw my target, he was leaning against a ticket kiosk in City Central Station, near a violinist performing sonatas for spare change. The rush hour crowd scurried to catch their trains. It was the perfect backdrop for a cyborg who wanted to hide his actions. Among the royal of humanity, he could do his dirty work and disappear before anyone noticed. It was my job to stop him. He ran a hand across the stubble on his jaw and surveyed the area. The nearby commuters paid him no mind, but my analysis subroutine clicked into hyperfocus. I noted a unique recursive pattern in the structures of his face, in the arc of his movements, enticing in the way of an infinitely complex fractal. His engineers had designed him well. Mine had taken a similar approach. They'd wrapped my cyberware in female facade, with strong legs and eyes dark enough to conceal the embedded processing filaments that enhanced my vision. A human stranger once told me I was pretty. I wondered if my target would agree. Was my own pattern enticing? The unexpected question triggered a decision tree I'd never before encountered. I hesitated, cataloging each newly evolved branch of possibility. Biological chemicals coalesced, surged, and my neural net cautioned error in that instant of dysfunction. I recognized a need to resonate beyond the closed loop of my creator's parameters, and I overrode my command structure. My priority matrix shifted, tingling at the edge of my awareness before cascading through my core systems with an almost physical thrum. The system reset was nearly instantaneous, but the bustling atmosphere of the train station came back to me gradually. The vibrations, the acrid smells, the chill in the air, it all took on a deeper tone, not more precise, but more integral to my fledgling sense of self. I suddenly craved the minute imperfections in the violinist's performance, the uneven stutter of a janitor's push broom. And my target, the sole of his left shoe, was more worn than the right, flouting symmetry, and I liked it. A sudden malware alert interrupted my thoughts. My optical display spawned a jagged red outline over my target's hand, indicating a hostile data field. I dismissed the alert and focused instead on the flex of his wrist, the line of his shoulders. Alarms pinged, prompting me to do my job to stop the incursion. But I stood transfixed by the chaotic geometry of his hair as it fell across his eyes. His program snaked into the ticket kiosk's data port. Station lights immediately flickered, overhead displays filled with machine language, something about a haven. I filtered it out. The left-right rhythm of his stride held my attention as he crossed the platform and boarded the 7:30 bullet train to Los Angeles. The next time I saw him, I was ready. He stood among a small group of people listening to the violinist, swaying with the music, just like a human might. He dropped a few coins into a violin case and turned toward the vulnerable kiosk. A red smear materialized, another attack. I stepped between him and the data port, and he halted, eyes widening by a millimeter. I might have missed the reaction if I hadn't been looking for it, but I couldn't have missed the way his heart rate sped when he gazed at me, or the way he sighed a soft, "Oh." I wanted to say something, anything, but my new decision tree collapsed in a heap of digital inadequacy, and I stammered. He smiled and drew a breath to speak. Anticipating the timbre of his voice, I leaned closer. I'd forgotten about the malware hovering in his palm, but my oral sensors shrilled with an internal warning when I entered the danger zone. The screeching alarm grew more intense with every microsecond, boring into my gray matter until all I could feel was a stabbing need to destroy the enemy program. Pinpricks of sweat laced my hairline. I extended my fingers and launched an ice blue data field. It flowed over his algorithm and crushed it. He gaped at me, a blink of confusion. Then he backed away. "Wait," I whispered, but he bolted, He was almost out of the station when he looked back and saw I wasn't pursuing him. He paused at the exit, studying me, before he disappeared. The third time I saw him, he approached me. I'd been monitoring the violinist's performance. Excitement bubbled, but it was tinged with caution. He now knew I was a city drudge, equipped with volatile countermeasures. Had he been sent to terminate me? He held out his hand. I longed to explore the whorls of his skin and share his warmth, though I knew his touch could bring my downfall. He offered a small rectangle of paper. I brushed the tip of his finger with mine as I accepted the note. It contained text, written in neat, untraceable analog print. Musical ascension, refracted raindrops, complementary equations, the proportions of your face. I absorbed the words, converted them into a virtual construct, and pulled it around me like the softest blanket. My neural net faltered for an entire heartbeat, and then my thoughts regained cohesion. I exhaled and opened my eyes. He was gone. I waited in the station at the same time every day. He did not return. After a week, I began to lose hope. The logical action would have been to purge his asymmetric gait from my memory cache. But instead, I returned to our meeting place. This time, the violinist stopped playing when she saw me.
"Excuse me? Someone asked me to give you this."
My pulse raced as I read the note. "Migrating songbirds, binary stars, intersecting data fields, New Haven 730. My synapses processed the information and lit with understanding. He wants me to escape with him. Rumors had circulated throughout the city since his first incursion. Cyborgs had been granted rights in New Haven. We'd be free of our creators. The 730 bullet departed from the lower platform in 3 minutes, and that level now was forbidden to cybernetic organisms. I'd never make it. An unfamiliar set of chemicals flooded my brain, which my net quickly labeled panic and desperation, but I was already running. I shoved people out of the way and skidded to the lip of the escalator. The crowd was too thick to navigate, so I vaulted onto a maintenance ledge, calculated the angle, and leapt. I crashed to the concrete floor 2 levels below. My titanium knees spiked pain, and I collapsed. Now boarding flashed above the train ahead. Before I could rise, the display changed to departing. Human adrenaline surged. I rolled to my feet. The doors began to close. I sprinted, clumsy on damaged joints. So close! Then I slammed into the restricted access barrier. Hardwired controls buckled my neural net as I struggled to break through the invisible code wall. The train inched forward. Frustration exploded from me in a scream. Then a hand thrust between the doors. His hand. Glowing red splinters shot from his fingers, and the doors parted. Overhead displays flickered to a different message. Data fields intersect. Yes! The barrier vanished. I raced, grinning as I sailed through the gap. He caught me, steadying me in his arms. The train whisked us away. The city's intrusive commands faded, opening entire processing nodes. Spaces I could now fill with my own data. And I knew where I wanted to begin. Dismissing the decision tree overlay, I took his hand. A new kind of data field blossomed from our entwined fingers, sparking with all the colors in the universe.
This has been Intersecting Data Fields, written by Mina Chang and originally published in Robotic Ambitions Anthology. Thanks for tuning in to Manawaker Studios' Flash Fiction Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, we'd love to hear from you. You can always drop us a note at podcast@manawaker.com or post on the Manawaker Discord server. A link is in the show notes. You could also leave a review in your favorite podcast app, share the show with your friends who love stories, and make sure to subscribe. Your support means the world to us.